Good morning to all the Jews in Israel and all over the world. We are reading in the book Shamati, Igot, letters, letter number 36, page Peihei 485. We remind you that you can ask questions live at www.kab.tv. Selected questions that are relevant to the topic will be aired. Shamati, letter number 36, page 85. The Eve of Sukkot, 1958, Manchester. To our friends in the Holy Land, may they live forever. This week I received two letters about the questions. The holiday of Sukkot is explained that it is known that a Sukkah, which is the festive heart of Sukkot, is a loyal shade, whose shade should be more than the sun. The sun implies knowing, and the shade implies faith. It is, as our sages said, Israel count by the moon, the nations of the world count by the sun. The thatch is made of the waste of winery, barn and winery. My father interpreted that the barn, goen, comes from the word ger anochi, I am a stranger with thee. And yekev, winery, comes from v'nokev Hashem, punctures the name. We have to understand his words. We have to know that all the deficiencies that a person feels about his work is corrected on the holiday of Sukkot. Because the thatch is the shade precisely, which is called faith. Meaning that through the acquisition of the quality of faith, we correct everything. We transcend our nature, all the deficiencies that we have, all the drawbacks we have, meaning above the will to receive, and begin to control it with the quality of bestowal. This is why Israel belongs to the moon, to being in the shade, living in the shade by hiding itself, just like the moon that hides itself and reveals itself according to how it should be with respect to the sun. We have the earth and the sun and the moon. So the moon, sometimes it is full, sometimes it is less than full. Why? Because the earth hides it from the sun. Why does it hide from the sun? It's a sign that the screen hides the moon, the will to receive, to the extent that it is permitted or forbidden to be in the light of the sun. That's how we learn from about spiritual systems according to these implications, which are Zeranpin and Malchut Datsilut, which are also the sun and the moon. And the earth is the desire that appears more or less. And thus the moon shows its greatness or smallness in order to maintain the faith, always maintain the faith. Faith is interpreted that it is above reason, meaning in a place where reason cannot attain it, that it seems to his eyes that it is opposite from knowledge. And since knowledge does not necessitate that he does all these actions, still, by the power of faith, he can do them. Accordingly, it turns out that the thatch is made precisely through the waste of barn and winery, and precisely because in the will to receive, it is impossible to do things with these desires because we don't feel any importance in it. But if he acquires the power of faith, then he can do these things with these desires because faith gives him the importance of the act of bestowal. This is why previously, when these actions to bestow upon others, to love others, and all these actions seemed completely acts of waste, of no importance, that these actions brought me no benefit. When I acquire the force of faith, I feel great benefit in these actions, great importance, and begin to do them. So it all depends on seeing the world with the light of faith. Precisely the thoughts and views that bring man the waste, which are the barn winery from which he makes the thatch, called faith. But if he had that waste, he would not be able to make the thatch. In other words, the waste isn't a waste. A person disqualifies or elevates its importance above one's head. Either it's below one's feet, the waste of barn winery, needless, or one discovers the high need in it. So it depends on how man sees these things. And how can one clarify it and elevate this waste to being thatch? This is why we say in the prayer when we enter the sukkah, and to take cover from storm and from rain by the shade, we are saved from the storm currents of the world. So we don't follow the currents of the world. And the rain is what revives the land. As it is written, the world opinion is that they have the ability, it has the ability to revive them, and only the reason is what they need. And these thoughts, each of these thoughts is like a drop of water that comes down to revive the land. And all those thoughts of the world together are called rain. And they think that when they build, when they understand the Lord's ways in their reason, they'll have livelihood. And this is the reason of the inanimate called earth, because they remain in earth with this knowledge. And then that waste, and that barn and winery, the waste of them are all with them. And that's how they are in worldliness and even the higher things that belong to spirituality. In them, it is at the level of their desires, and they use it like people use it. Whereas, when they go with faith above reason, they are awarded a blessing called a field which the Lord has blessed. And to be among through the thatch, they have faith when they go by this way to be saved from the storm and the rain. But this is for individuals who have the inner drive to transcend material life, whose point in the heart demands, and then through the means for it, they come to transcend the current of the world and above their thoughts and desires, they put a screen over it and begin to relate to reality completely differently. And this is called the thatch. They cover themselves from the environment and choose another environment that, along with it, they build a thatch. And they are saved from the current of the world. It's like a box, like Noah's Ark, kind of. Because guarding is only in the shade. The shade is built on the waste of barn and winery. And this explains all the question. But about Noah, he still didn't have anything to clarify. The will to receive was general, not clarified or scrutinized. This is why there was the flood, that had to come in this way, unclarified, so to speak. And here, the person who works the land works within the desires and clarifies with them with which desires he can work in order to bestow, with which he can't. And accordingly, he elevates faith, first of all, above all the desires, and then uses the desires according to the faith, according to the thatch. Within the thatch, there should also be spaces, meaning where the sun can penetrate a little bit through the thatch. Otherwise, it's not a kosher sukkah. But its shade must always be more than the sun, meaning a person uses his will to receive to some extent. But as long as it's under the thatch, under the screen, the will to, the intention to bestow controls. This is the meaning of the shade being more than the sun, because the shade has to be more important than the sun. And when a person has the shade, the sun, and if he continues by way of sanctity, he is given from above the waste of barn winery, so he can make of it a thatch. In other words, the more a person is willing to advance and be like the moon, receive the sunlight only according to his ability to be like the shade, within the shade, then he gets all kinds of alien thoughts and obstructions, that if he understands that they are obstructions and waste, then he advances correctly. If he doesn't, he takes them and fails in them. So all of the thoughts and desires that go through a person, he has to classify them and see them. Well, of course, they're already for work, but it depends on in which way. Either they are to be used directly, or he must first restrict them, acquire the quality of faith over them, and only then use these desires with the qualities of faith. Then he clarifies them and sees how they are a waste. And once he disqualifies them, disqualifies using them directly, he puts them under faith and uses them to build the thatch out of them. From here comes the joy, and this is called the joy of mitzvah. To understand that more clearly, I will copy to you from an article from my father's manuscript, and read it, and your soul will be revived. And this is what he wrote. By the way, I will explain to you the charity for the poor that is so praised in the Zohar and the Tikkunim and in the words of our sages, that there's one organ in man with which it is forbidden to work whatsoever. And even if there's a slight desire in man to work with it, that organ is God-stricken and called poor, whose every right to exist and livelihood in the world is that others work for it and pity it. This is the meaning of all who keep one soul from Israel. It is as though he kept the whole world. When this organ relies on others, since it relies on others, it has nothing more than what it needs to revive its souls. It's to revive itself. But still, it is considered by the Creator as though it had kept the whole world, because this in itself is all the blessing of the world, where it is multiplied only by the force of this poor soul who exists through the work of other organs. And this is enough for those who understand. And this is the meaning of, and he brought it for out and asked and said, look now towards heaven. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Meaning when he took it out, he had some desire to work with this organ. This is why the work was forbidden. This is why he said, look now towards heaven. At the same time, we put our faith in the blessing of the seed. They are like two opposites in the same subject, because all his seed is blessed and comes through this organ. So when it doesn't work, how will there be seed? This is the meaning of, and he believed in the Lord, meaning that he received these two receptions as they are forbidden to work and the promise of the blessing of the seed. And how did he receive them? And he ends about that, and he counted it to him as righteousness, meaning as righteousness or charity for the poor who lives off the work of others. It's as we learn about Abraham. How did he understand that the Creator blesses him? Yes, he told him, sacrifice him, you know, slaughter the will to receive. But if he slaughters the will to receive, how will he be able to achieve blessing? Yes, in Isaac will be your slave. We don't understand that because they are two adjacent degrees. You know, we hear that there's the thing of receiving in order to bestow, but to really work with the will to receive in order to bestow is impossible before you go through the degree of bestowing in order to bestow. That's why you first have to slaughter the will to receive in its natural form, how in the way it appears to us in the beginning, in receiving in order to receive. That's the slaughtering. You have to bring it to correction under faith, to bestow in order to bestow, which does not belong to the will to receive. Bestowing in order to bestow is the bestowal under which there is the will to receive. It is not used, like in Bina. Afterwards, when it has the full quality of bestowal, when it's acquired it, and is all in bestowal in order to bestow above all the 613 desires that appeared in him, then he is permitted to begin to connect these desires to receive with the intention to bestow with faith. Then he has work with complete faith of receiving in order to bestow. So that's why the work with the will to receive, at one time you have to seemingly slaughter it in its natural form, egoistic form. And once you slaughter it, meaning once you remove the in order to receive, the intention to receive, where through the knife called the light of wisdom that comes and cuts it and clarifies it and stops its using. Afterwards, you thus acquire mercy and then you can revive it. This is why Abraham seemingly had a problem. How could he receive these two words from the Creator? On the one hand, slaughter Isaac, and on the other hand, from him will come all of your blessings. A great nation will come from you. You will be the father of the nation. When he discovered that that's how it should be, but how did he discover it? When he went to slaughter Isaac and him, then he went above reason, not knowing that this was even possible. Because what we hear isn't going to help us. As it is written, the righteousness of the righteous will not help him in the day of his transgression. What we hear doesn't help us when he actually comes to a certain point. This wisdom and knowledge don't help us. So by the power of his faith, when he strengthened himself and slaughtered his will to receive, when he stopped using it, only afterwards did he come to a state where he was awarded the blessing, specifically through this will to receive, which he slaughtered its natural form. So it's the same here. when you come to the matter of Sukkot. In the beginning it is waste, and you have to clarify it, understand why it seems waste to me, why the qualities of Bissol seem wasteful to me in my qualities of reception. So first you have to acquire the quality of Bissol, and then this waste seems like great things, like special qualities, and you begin to use them with the quality bestowed in such a way that the will to receive, called man, is in there, in that sukkah, happily. Yes. This is the meaning of the two words, the two sayings of our sages. One believed that the Creator will give him charity, that he will keep him and revive him without effort. And another thought that the Creator would give him charity. And both are the words of God. Because prior to the condition, this organ is in the sky, and the charity is named after the lower one. And at the end of its correction, it is not in heaven. And then the righteousness is considered for the upper one. This also has to do with the will to receive that must be sustained alive even though it's completely disqualified. It has to be revived to some extent, as we know from the system of Kedusha to the system of Klipa, because it's forbidden to be detached from corporal life, but one must remain in one's necessity, which is neither praised nor condemned. So one must be connected to this world and these things that we receive as necessary are called for the poor. If one takes it in this way, that he doesn't have a choice, so then it's not considered reception. And as a result, even though he is in the will to receive, he can acquire the desire to bestow, because it all depends on his attitude to the state he's in. If his actions, even those of reception, are necessary, then it's not considered that he's doing anything in it. And that's how he acquires the qualities of bestowal, and then returns to this miskina and to this poor, and from it rises with all of his glory. I will ask that each of you will write an interpretation to these words, and also bring the words, his words, the words of his holiness, because I want to see how much you understand the words of my Father. Well, obviously, they understand only according to their perception in mind that they had. And not internal execution of it. There's a big difference here. We can be very smart. We can think we understand everything. We can think of the order of actions that we have to experience, and the study, to be proficient of the study, to be knowledgeable. What is the benefit of that? Until it happens in a person practically, with all of one's desires, with all of one's internal nature, of course it's not considered anything. This is why we examine ourselves not according to what we know, how things are built, and the systems, this and that, and the actions, and the order in them is this or that. But a person is tested and weighed according to what he completed de facto. And this depends only on the extent to which one acquires from society the ability to transcend one's own matter, which is called the force of the Ovut. When he acquires the force of the Ovut from society, and this force is actually his measure of willingness to achieve faith. The more society gives me the power of the avut, it doesn't even depend on society. It depends more on the extent to which I'm willing to receive that force. So he receives it and begins to go through the phases in his spiritual process de facto. Whereas, of course, as Rabash told him, write me some what you understand of it. These things, for now, are just intellectual. They're not for actual execution. And about his question about his student, we find in the words of our sages, he who is idle with eulogy of the wise should be buried alive. And idleness is in a place where there is no deficiency. But in a place of deficiency, there is no idleness, because the deficiency evokes movement. Hence, those who feel the loss, meaning those who feel their own deficiency, to the extent that he is deficient, there is no room for idleness. But those who don't feel deficient have no room for movement, and therefore are lazy. This is why those who are lazy with the eulogy of the wise, it is a sign that during his life too, before the departure of the wise, he had no connection with the sage. This is why he doesn't feel the loss. And this is why he said that he should be buried alive, meaning that in the life of the sage too, that student should have been buried, because then too, he was wrong too. But still, there is a cure for his plight. But those who degrade a wise disciple cannot be salvaged. This is about two bodies and one body at the same time. If a person is awarded a state that appeared in him, something from the spiritual elation. We're not talking about the revelation of the Creator to the creature, which is already beyond the barrier. But even just even these states, when he transcends his ego to some extent and is willing to reintegrate it in others, he's willing to use his forces to somehow be close to the connection to the other souls, to be with them as one unit towards the higher fulfillment, then he has to appreciate these things, these states. And if he appreciates them, then through them he ascends. If he doesn't appreciate them, then these states disappear. It's called the wise disciple in him dies. Why wise disciple? Because he learns from the wise and is called the wise disciple. So the state of learning from the quality of the soul from the Creator, the integration with others, disappears. And now the question is, does he at least regret having lost this state? If he regrets it, then through the sorrow, he can bring back the previous state and advance in it, move forward in it. He can learn a little more from the sage and be a little more of a wise disciple. But if he despises that state of bestowal, of bonding with others, of learning the quality of bestowal from the Creator, that's the trick. That's the wisdom. It's not the trick isn't to be smart as we learn it in our world, to have a brain filled with all kinds of knowledge. The wisdom is the quality of bestowal and how to use it. That's what you learn from the Creator. He is benevolent. All of his actions are to benefit, to bestow. So those who learn from that are called wise disciples. It's a little different than what we understand about wisdom and quality. So if he doesn't degrade these qualities, these actions of bestowal, and that's the meaning of Sukkot, that's why he connects the story to that letter. then of course he has cure for his plight, and it's good that he rises and falls, and because by these declines he only receives greater importance for the forms of the wise disciple that appear in him. But those who degrade the states, of course, they are cut off from these states in him, called wise disciple, and he cannot be salvaged, he cannot be cured, because he's burying himself, actually. The wise disciple in him. And that's it. That's why it is written that he should be buried alive. Because his whole life, when he degrades these states, that when he receives elation, he isn't using them correctly, but only for himself. When he feels high-spirited and he's happy about it. So, these states are not for him. Let us return to the matter. Our sages said, make your Torah permanent, your work temporary. Torah means, as it is written, Torah means right, as it is written, his right hand was a fiery law. And man's permanency, you should say that it is in the right, called perfection. The extent to which we're constantly connected to the Torah, to its power to correct us and demand that power for the scrutiny of good and bad, for the correction of good and bad, to constantly belong to that, not join and become attached to something great and thus relax myself, as we think that this is what right means. Right means forces of correction. And one should picture oneself being perfect with all the virtues and good qualities and say to himself how a whole person should serve the king and be glad. And so he too should engage in the Torah and song and praises and give to the Lord, the creator of the world, for having been given the opportunity to serve the king even for a moment a day. What does it mean to praise the Creator? The quality, the comprehensive, common quality of bestowal that governs the world, elevated above all other qualities, controlling all of his desires. This is called praising and extolling the Creator as the king of the world. Otherwise, man is immersed in one's ego and wants to receive everything and cries, the king. So what about this cry? Who is the king? His own ego is the king, not the quality of the soul, not the creator. And then, of course, nothing good will come out of this lie. For even a moment a day, to be given a chance to assume the burden of the kingdom of heaven, or maybe even once a month are enough to give praise to the Creator for having been awarded him with such a great service. And he must not then consider if he's got any flaw in him. Meaning to want to some extent to belong to the quality of bestowal, to giving, to love of man, and extol that to such a height that just for a moment to be in that quality is enough, because this is the moment of adhesion with the Creator. Don't detach these discernments from one another. The name, the Creator, the King, the Benevolent, the Controlling, the Ruler, and the quality of bestowal are all the same. There is nothing else. The whole world is only the quality of bestowal besides man, who is in opposition to it, according to the level of one's awareness. And the topic of the holidays, the beginning of the year, is the king, meaning to extol, elevate the quality of bestowal above Mount Sinai, above our ego. This is called crowning the Creator. And thus everyone within his nature, within himself, examining that he went through in the slichot, in the pardons of all of his desires. He transcends all these desires and determines that the quality of bestowal is more important than all his desires. This is called coming, achieving Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. From now on, he has a new beginning. In that, he only determines that this is so. On the Day of Atonement, he begins to test his desires, what they are, and the extent to which they can be connected to the quality of the King. He sees how opposite they are. That's why he has the five torments, where he checks himself and doesn't find in himself nothing that belongs to the quality of bestowal. And as a result, he comes to a correction called Sukkot, where all of these desires that he scrutinized on the Day of Atonement are given the correction of bestowal in order to bestow. And that gives him great joy of Katnut. Sukkot is a holiday of Katnut, but it already brings him the light which begins to reform him, called the joy of Torah. It is as it is written that whatsoever man he be that had a blemish, he shall not approach. But when he wants to come closer to the Creator, he must be in a state of wholeness. This is considered right. But we should also advance in the left, and through both of them, we achieve the goal. Like Abraham, he wanted to slaughter Isaac. It's enough that you have the desire to slaughter. You don't have to slaughter the desires themselves, only the intentions. Did you slaughter the intention to receive? That's it, enough. Forget about the desires themselves, leave them. Now take them out from under the domination of the ego, and now you can work with them. But those who engage in Torah alone, meaning who is always in a state of wholeness, and does not calculate if he really is so, it is, as our sages said, that Rav Huna said, all who engage in the Torah alone is as though one who has no God, as it is written, in many days to God without a true God, because they don't examine themselves in the light of God. They engage in wisdom, in knowledge, not in the Torah, not in the light that reforms. Yes? Days mean wholeness. Many, meaning they always engage in this discernment, which is many. Then he is without a true God. Then this way is not true, but they need work too, meaning you should always have some waste appearing in this wholeness, by which through this waste you can elevate this a wholeness more, extol it. One who does not work with his will to receive, but only in wholeness attaches himself to the right line, is called sacred still. He's not advancing whatsoever. Progress can only be when the left line appears in him. Only the right line without the appearance of the left line is chassidut. He's in a state of chassidim. So work is required too, which is left. So he will also see the deficiency in him and correct that deficiency. That's a problem. Those who have a left line, that has to do with the wisdom of Kabbalah already. Those people cannot cope, cannot hold themselves, cannot be an ordinary Orthodox person. They're looking how they can calm their left line down, and then they come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Even if they are religious, they can no longer sustain themselves only as ordinary people. And from those, people come to the study of Kabbalah too. It's the same with Kabbalists through history, how they grew from the people who were only religious. The left line appeared in them, and through the rule of landlords, they couldn't calm themselves down. They had to have the rule of Torah. The rule of Torah means that bestowal has to be on top of reception. That's already an entirely different method than constantly calming yourself down and being in a state of wholeness. Because otherwise he'll remain in a state of falsehood, thinking that he's advancing on the path of truth. And if no examination is done, then you cannot see the truth. So then he has to constantly be in the right and left, constantly falling and rising and falling and rising. And then his life becomes disrupted, confused. He doesn't quite know where he is. He quarrels with the Creator, etc. But as a result, he grows. Yes. This is what our sages said. It is good to be a wise disciple with the way of the land, because they bring in both, cleanses iniquity. And any Torah that doesn't have work with it is cancelled and induces iniquity, because if they haven't been awarded, it becomes the potion of death, because specifically through both, it cleanses the iniquity, meaning specifically those who engage in Torah and in whom the ego awakens, and they fall in it, they become despaired, confused, they don't know what to do, they become helpless and powerless. These advance correctly, and they are the ones that will have fruits of blessing. But those who constantly sustain themselves in a state of wholeness, even though they look like people who haven't been awarded correction, they haven't even started it, because criticism against the situation, the ego, the will to receive, hasn't evoked in them against correction. And that's why they fall into a potion of death. In other words, they think that they are in the world and so at the end of correction, that they have nothing else to do, nothing else to correct. The Creator owes them, and only their pride increases. They only want to control the world, and everyone owes them something. That's the difference between those who advance only on the right line and those who advance in both lines in order to build one's own personal middle line in his personal advancement. So don't think that the desire to receive on the right line falls asleep. It still grows, but a person begins to see that his will to receive is fine, that he's already past correction, and that's why he can't calculate correctly, that he's actually an egoist, that he's stuck in a klipa, stuck in a shell. It's called a shell. There's no other name to it. The rule of landlords is opposite from the rule of Torah. Landlords means that everything is corrected about them and they don't feel deficiencies, so you have to be very careful about it. You also have to be careful from those who have that Torah, because that's the whole of the of Israel, the Orthodox Israel, meaning until they come out of their will to receive, you know, understand, until they have a left line, they mustn't be touched. Don't put an obstacle for a blind person. They have to advance in this way, and we mustn't show them that it's a flaw and that they're not advancing towards the Creator, God forbid. But the time will come that from within them they will feel the left line that is beginning to show itself. And then they will discover that they need another method that they're lacking, which is called the rule of 12, which is the total opposite from what they're now in what they now establish in their societies. Where instead of wholeness in the right line without evoking the left line, they are corrected. They feel as whole as a baby who belongs to the grown-up, but when desires begin to grow in that baby, it needs correction. Otherwise, it'll be a bad boy. So then you have to wait until the egoistic desires appear to such an extent that they will belong to the left line. Today, this is what is happening. It'll take a few years, but in the end, those who are on the right line, too, will feel that they are living in a lie. That you can only come to the Creator on top of slaughtering the will to receive, and then through correcting the will to receive. Like Abraham, who couldn't settle for being in the right line. To advance, he had to evoke the left in him, Yitzchak, and slaughter this intention that he had over the will to receive in order to receive, and in the desires themselves to continue to use them and through them achieve Likut. And Torah without work is to the contrary, causes iniquity. But you have to do little and engage in Torah. So most of the time they are in a state of wholeness. Questions? There are many good questions. Let's see how much time we'll have. A friend from Haifa is asking, what does it mean to do things? Is there something we should actually do? He's asking that in relation to the paragraph on page 85, where it says, in a place where the mind cannot attain it, and it seems that he is opposite to the reason, since the reason does not engage that he does all these things. Still, by the power of faith, he can do that. So the friend from Haifa is asking, what does it mean to do things? The things one can do, we have to understand what we do with our desire isn't us. It's not us. It's as if I build a certain machine and that machine runs. It's not me working, it's that machine working. That's what the Creator did. He built our desires in us, and these desires crave all kinds of fulfillment. So to obtain them, they work. They bring themselves closer to the fulfillment. These are not our actions. All of the egoistic actions are not our own. They just work according to nature. The animal in me works in me in this way, just like the whole of nature. This is not considered me working. It's my will to receive working. And He created the will to receive. So now, when is it considered that a person is working? A person working is one who wants to resemble the Creator. Adam, person, means from Adamele, comes from Adamele Elyon, I'll be like the Most High. So if I want to resemble Him, I acquire the quality of bestowal, the quality of faith, on top of the will to receive. It's called faith above reason. And then it's considered that I am working. In other words, I cannot act if it isn't an act of bestowal. Then it is considered my own. What makes it mine? The fact that I, of everything that I have, through my effort, through the group, through the study, through all these elements, which are in my domain, of course, the Creator brought them to me. He built this environment for me, but I, when I use it correctly, find there something called free choice. Integration in society in order to receive the greatness of bestowal from it and ask for this bestowal from the Creator, the force of bestowal, and in that force to transcend my matter, my will to receive. This is called man's action. Man's action is where he can be free, where it isn't the Creator who works, but I. Where? Only in my connection to the group, in order to be impressed by them about the importance of bestowal. I have nowhere else from which to take this importance. In my world, meaning in my desires, it is zero. Nothing, waste. How to start elevating this waste above my level? Only society can help me do that. Only society. Suddenly they come, oh boy, look at how much waste you have. That's beautiful. Let's say they come to you and look in your house. You want to throw out things from your house, and they come and tell you, oh, I'll take this, I'll take that. And then you go, wait a minute. You start seeing it is important. Oh, wait a minute, I'm not going to throw it away. A moment ago you wanted to throw it out. No, let me think again. Does it happen, right? Sure. Because you see that they're important. And, you know, they're not idiots, everyone, you know. So you're affected by them, and it gives you importance. That's it. So the only act, our only act is to be integrated in the group in order to receive, but to do it deliberately in order to receive the importance of bestowal from them. I want them to come to me and say, there's nothing better, nothing more important. Look at how important it is. Look at what we're doing. Look at how we're working. I want to see that from them. Something that I want to throw. And then you succeed. More good questions? Yes. Another question from Israel. What does it mean to bring the intention out of the control of the ego? It's called slaughtering Yitzchak. In other words, to clean the will to receive from the intention to receive. All of my desires are fine. I can use them in whatever direction I want. I need to examine why I want to use them. How do I examine that? The test is simple. Where man's thoughts are, that's where he is. If I'm with all of my mind, with all of my thoughts, if I'm attached to achieving the quality of bestowal, then everything I do other than that is kosher. You know, sometimes you say, what a person, look at how he's immersed in something. He doesn't sleep, doesn't eat, he is entirely in the work. He really is. Is he really not sleeping or not eating? Of course he is. He washes himself, he eats, he rests for a few hours. True, but his mind is occupied only with that. That's how we slaughter the will to receive. We cannot clean it from the intention to receive only by attaching ourselves to in order to bestow. Only in this way can we do that. That's the meaning of slaughtering. I can't slaughter these intentions like a knife to cut the intentions from the desires. This happens through the light that reforms. Like we talk about absag, yes, the light comes and I see what is in order to receive in me, or how much I am in order to receive. These actions don't happen through a person. Are not done for a person. We should only want them to happen. We don't own the actions. The actions are done by the light that reforms. Okay? So, let's switch to the next part. We'll switch to the next part, Talmud Tosfot.